Welcome back to another episode of DC Talk. This is episode number 13 on October 21st, 2018. I am excited to be here and to talk all the DC news we can. And boy, there was some DC news this week. And I'm looking forward to getting into that. But before I do, I cannot do this by myself. I have none other than Wonder Woman herself. Carrie, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. We had a party at the dojo last night, so I didn't get in until like 1 a.m. So I'm all kinds of good right now.
Oh, this is going to be an awesome podcast, and I love those kind of podcasts where Carrie has little to no sleep.
He loves it when I'm sleep deprived, guys.
Oh, it makes it so much easier. But like I said, this is DC Talk number 13. We are excited that you're joining us today. But before we get to that, I just kind of want to make a mention of some things that we have coming up. The first thing is we recorded last Wednesday. Our thoughts, we crossed over into the Guardians of the MCU, yet when they were losing people due to the snap, we are still here over in DC Universe. But we joined over them with them this past Wednesday, and we were able to talk a little bit about what we thought about Venom. And all around, I thought Venom was pretty good. I really did. I enjoyed it. So that was fun for us. So make sure you keep an eye out and an ear out looking for what we have coming up with Venom and with the Guardians of the MCU. But are there any other network announcements, Miss Carrie?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
All right, well, this is the first week that we've had most of our DC TV shows have come back on. We're still waiting for
Legends of Tomorrow.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Guardians of the MCU for some reason. But Legends of Tomorrow.
No.
I know. No. Legends of Tomorrow come back, and we'll this upcoming week. So we're going to kind of go through our news topics, and then we're going to hit our discussion of episodes. And bear with us as we are working out the kinks with going through our DC TV shows. We're trying to, well, let me rephrase this. Carrie threatened to hit me with a kendo stick if I continue to do long recaps, and we're here for 2 hours. So, no, we are still working out some kinks. So bear with us. We'll get it worked out, and we'll have a good time while we do it. All right, but before we do, let's go on to our news. Our DC TV news today that we're going to bring to you is, first of all, young Alfred has been cast for the new Batman prequel series, Pennyworth. The new cast has been Jack Bannon. Now, I looked up his IMDb info, and I don't really notice him from anything really that I have seen. I know he was, he played with Brad Pitt in Fury. He was a young tanker. He was famous for being in the TV series Click as James Buxton. He was also Sam Thursday in the Endeavor TV series for a few episodes. But other than that, I don't know him from anywhere else. Do you?
No, I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either. But he looks like he would be a young Alfred, so that'd be pretty exciting to see. I'm looking forward to that as well. So Jack Bannon has been signed on to do young Alfred, and I'm looking forward to Pennyworth. I'm looking forward to Pennyworth.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I know some people are a little hesitant about it, but I've said it before. I'm a really big sucker for kind of origin stuff, so I'm looking forward to seeing. We've always gotten clues in the comics and on TV and in the movies of his past and the things that he did in his past. So it'd be interesting to see where that comes from and actually see it played out.
Yeah.
So Jack Bannon's been cast as young Alfred in Pennyworth.
Let's see. Ben Aldridge has been cast to play Thomas Wayne in Pennyworth. I'm all not right. Familiar with this guy either. I probably should be, but I don't know.
You should.
What was
at
that?
Least... I said you probably should.
No, I don't kidding. I don't see anything listed here that he's been in that I would remember.
Yeah. I know he's played in, let me see. He's been in the TV show Rain, which I may have seen parts of that. Other than that, he's not really been in anything that I know of. So I like the way they're getting new actors.
Yeah, me too. He also looks kind of like an older version of David Mazouz, who's the kid who plays Bruce in Gotham.
Yeah, about that, you know, I am. This isn't in our notes, but there has been a push in social media to get him to play the new Batman when it comes out, since they're looking for a younger Batman.
I do not object.
In the new Batman movie. So
I do not object at all.
Pretty cool. I don't either. But that's not in our news, but I thought that was pretty interesting. That was pretty interesting. So I'm looking forward to this. I really am looking forward to Pennyworth, and hopefully it'll be good. So we'll see. The next bit of news we have on DC TV is that Superman's black suit has been revealed for the new Elseworlds Arrowverse crossover. Did you see this photo?
I did. This crossover is going to be...
It's going to be epic.
Insane.
It's going to be legend. Wait for it. Dairy. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
That doesn't get any better any time you say it.
I know.
It's still lame.
I can't do it as good as Barney. I can't do it as good as Barney. I try. I seen the outfit. I like it. I think it looks really cool. I'm struggling because every time I see this, I think of Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin wearing the same white shirt with the handkerchief photo that was going around lately.
Uh-huh.
with the leather jacket. They're twins. And then the last one was Stephen Amell looks like he had his eyes closed on his pillow asleep on his Instagram account.
Uh-huh.
And in his dream bubble was him and Grant dressed the same way. And those two are goofs.
They've taken their friendship to a new level, dude.
A whole new level.
It's really funny. I love all the teases Stephen Amell especially has been posting for the crossover. This is gonna be fun.
Yes. So the black suit's been revealed. I'm loving all the stuff that's coming over with the Elseworlds stuff that we have. So I'm looking forward to that. I kind of wish it was there now, but I don't want to kind of rush the season because the season's been really good too. All right. What else we got for the next bit of news?
Okay, so the Elseworlds crossover picture of Arrow and Flash has been revealed. And it has sparked a whole bunch of Photoshopping competitions. I'm not entirely sure if this is power swap or body swap that we're going for here, but this looks really like it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, there was a few of these photos going around. The first one was where Grant Gustin was wearing the Arrow costume, and Stephen Amell is wearing the Flash.
That's the official one.
Right, that's the official one. And then the other funny one was where they had Melissa Benoist wearing the Arrow, and then Stephen Amell with long blonde hair wearing the Supergirl.
There's also one of Katie Lutz wearing the Adam suit, and what's his name wearing the Black Canary or the White Canary outfit.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, like I said, the photoshopping competitions have been rampant this week. It's been fun.
Yes. The only other one I saw was they had Cisco as Killer Frost and Killer Frost as Cisco.
Nice. I like that.
As Vibe. So that's the only one that I saw. But yeah, the crossovers is still looking like it's going to be really good. I'm excited about this. The next kind of bit of news that we have is that Lex Luthor is coming to Supergirl.
This is interesting. I mean, it's about bloody time, but this is interesting. And I don't want to get my hopes up, but apparently Michael Rosenbaum has been making noises that he wants his old job back.
Yeah, he has, and there's also a huge fan push to have that too.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't want to get my hopes up, but oh, come on. That would be awesome.
I mean, especially
with some of the photos they've been posting of set locations for the crossover.
Yes.
But I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I would love to see a Michael Rosenbaum back again.
Oh yeah,
as Lex Luthor. So we'll look forward to that. But yeah, Lex Luthor is coming to Supergirl, which kind of brings me to a point that we hadn't mentioned yet that we could mention. But there was a theory that was going around this week, and apparently it was debunked, that CW is looking at trying to do a backdoor pilot to a Superman TV show in the Arrowverse. Do we really need that?
I don't know. I mean, there's already rumors that the crossover is going to be something like a backdoor jumping off point for Batwoman. So
right.
I don't know how many backdoor pilots you can cram into one 3-episode story arc there.
Yeah, so besides maybe possibly having that, I don't want a Superman Arrowverse show. I don't feel like we need one. I feel like and I've been very vocal about this. I feel like maybe the majors need to stick to the big screens, and the minors need to stay on the TV. You know, I know Flash isn't considered I know he's a major character in DC, but I'm talking about, like, when you think of your Supermans, your Wonder Womans, and your Batmans, do you think of main characters, major players
yeah.
in the DC universe?
I would be happy with them just showing up once in a while, kind of like
right.
Superman's been doing. If we could
right.
if we could extend that to Batman and Diana, that would be great. And
you know,
maybe
Gotham's coming to an end this season.
Yeah, and you know,
so
maybe get a Green Lantern appearance somewhere.
Even just a
green flying overhead type thing. That would be nice,
right?
I've been watching a lot of the DC animated movies, and the rapport between Hal Jordan and Barry Allen is just awesome, and I miss it.
Yeah.
I find myself missing it in the live action series.
Yeah, I do too. I've been enjoying it. I've been watching a lot of animated stuff lately to try to catch up in the DC Universe app. But I'd be okay with maybe a once every now and then appearance. I don't know about having their own show. I think it would kind of ruin what we have in
mm-hmm.
the CW. Although there has been a push for people are wanting them to stop making films for the movies and just do solely DC stay on TV.
You know what?
Because they seem to be owning that market. I could see that.
I almost wouldn't mind that if they just kept the TV and the animated movies, because the animated movies are really good.
Right.
I'm catching up through the new 52 stuff, and then, you know, branching out and trying to branch out into some of the other stuff now.
There was actually a very, very quick article. I'm not going to read it, but it's on Nerdist.com
uh-huh.
that says you can thank the DC animated universe for the MCU that they currently have.
Oh, nice.
It's a very good article. It's very, very quick, but they make a lot of good points. So, it'd be a good article to read. It's on Nerdist.com. But yeah, so this is interesting. I hope they don't have a Superman, but that's okay. So we've talked a little bit about Lex Luthor. We've talked about the crossover picture. What else do we have? Looks like we have some more announcements about Pennyworth, Carrie.
Okay, looks like Paloma Faith has been cast as an upcoming villain by the name of Bette Sykes in Pennyworth. I'm not familiar with this actress either, unfortunately. Looks like she was in the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which is on my list of stuff to watch.
Right, and she's also a singer. So she's an actress as well as a singer.
Cool.
And
they have said that this will definitely not be a prequel to Gotham, which is fine.
That's okay with me. I'm fine with that. We don't have to have a prequel to Gotham. So
you know,
Pennyworth is building. I like what they're doing. They really are. They're building a cast of not want to say nobodies, but they're building a cast of people we have not heard of.
Yeah, and they're not trying. They're not even advertising that this is going to be in any way linked to anything else. That any of the other TV shows, which is fine. I'm happy with, you know, things on different networks being their own separate little universes. And just, but then, you know, my gripe about, you know, why can't we have three different versions of, you know, Deadshot going on, happening at the same time? It's not like it's going to change anything.
Yeah, we know. We know your gripe, Carrie.
I know. Yep, that's my gripe.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier that we're going to see some familiar things from our crossover episode in regards to Smallville. What do we got coming up there for that?
They have been posting some pictures of the farm that was used in Smallville for the Kent's residence. So it looks like we're going back there. So that would be cool. That will be cool.
So how cool would it be if... Okay, so we see Martha Kent on the farm, that kind of thing, and she hired a helping hand because Clark's not there all the time, and it just happened to be somebody played by Tom Welling.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Just saying, listen, I know I'm not super, but I do the best I can, you know, helping out your mom around her. Oh, I would love it.
Well, I mean, they've already set a precedent with having Dean Cade play Alex's dad.
That's true.
And Callan Slater playing her mom. So, yeah, they actually did that in Smallville too. Both Christopher Reeve and Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher and Margot Kidder all made appearances. Actually, also Helen Slater made an appearance in Smallville. So, yeah, it would be nice. if they kept the sort of tradition going. And, you know, Tom Welling's character got killed off of Lucifer, so he might need some work. I don't know.
Or that, or maybe he gets lost and he says, "Guys, this place looks really familiar, but I don't know where I got to go. Can somebody give me directions?" You know, I mean, just I think it'd be perfect. I think it'd be awesome. I would love it if that was like one of the tightly knit secrets that they have not shared about the Elseworlds crossover.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That we won't know until it actually happens.
Yeah.
But anyways, so then we talked a little bit about the Titans, and we'll get to this a little bit later when we talk about the Titans episode, but the nuclear family, I'm just going to kind of read. They first appeared in 1985, The Outsiders 1 comic series. The comics version was a family of androids created by a nuclear scientist named Eric Shanner, who built them after his own carelessness caused his real family to die after being exposed to nuclear radiation. So that's kind of where they get their origin from the comics. We know that in the episode that we'll get to in a little bit, when they get informed that they've been activated, the dad goes back inside and announces a family road trip, unlocks the cabinet, and strange syringes are produced, each one labeled Mom, Dad, Sis, and Biff. Mm-hmm. I love the Biff reference.
Yes.
And everybody injects themselves, so I have no idea what that's about.
Neither.
But I could tell something was off when I saw the retro kind of style of the house. So I'd be interested to see how they are involved in Titans. But that's all the DC TV news that we have. And now we're going to move into just, we have a couple of bits of news for the DC Universe news. What is our first bit of DC Universe news that we have?
Okay, well, the real costumes for Raven and Starfire have been revealed. And
yes,
these look awesome.
They look legit amazing.
Have you noticed that the pendant Raven's wearing looks like the jewel that should be in her forehead?
She is wearing one.
She's wearing a pendant
on her forehead in the movie. I mean in the picture.
Yeah, she's wearing it here in this picture, but no, in the last two episodes she's been wearing a pendant that looks like a red like teardrop type thing.
Right.
And
so
that should be the thing that's on her forehead, but it's not there yet.
When we see it, we won't know.
When we're gonna see this, but at some point we're gonna see the actual costumes for Raven and Starfire.
Well, we saw no Corey and we saw no Gar in this last episode.
True.
We talk about it.
True.
But we do know that next episode is supposed to feature heavily Raven and Starfire. And then, of course, Dick will be there as well. And Hawk and Dove, Hawk will be there at least. But we do know that apparently Corey is supposed to find Rachel in this next episode, and then some real stuff kind of ensues. So who knows what's gonna
stuff's gonna get
happen.
Real.
The show has been amazing.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it is probably easily my highlight of my week right now is the Titans show, which brings me to the next one. It has been certified fresh. Now I could care two squats about Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. But it has been certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with an 84%. That's pretty good to me.
Nice. Nice.
So I'm excited about that. So if you haven't been watching Titans, you need to watch Titans. All right. So make sure you get the DC Universe app. Or if you're in Canada, you can watch it on Netflix International. I think they have it. So that's good. All right. Well, we have one more last bit of DC Universe news.
Okay, so Warner Brothers Montreal is apparently working on two open world DC Universe games, which would be interesting.
Be very interesting to see how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if
any ideas?
I don't know. No, not really. I mean, I don't know that it would be enough to get me to abandon, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic or anything, but but we shall see.
But that's all of our DC Universe news. We have a couple more pieces of news for just general DC news. The Aquaman movie runtime has been revealed. Possibly we're looking at 2 hours and 20 minutes for the runtime.
Fine.
And along the lines of the movie runtime, they also said that it's going to premiere 2 weeks in China ahead of the U.S. release.
Hmm.
So that means probably a Twitter blackout for 2 weeks, more than likely, for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody's going to spoil something I don't want to see. But yeah, so 2 hours and 20 minutes is a possible runtime, and then it's getting released a little earlier in China. Next bit of news we have.
Let's see. The Birds of Prey. I can't talk today. The Birds of Prey plot details are reportedly revealed. Apparently, this is going to center around have something to do with Cassandra Cain, who, and if I'm reading this correctly, this kind of follows on how she became Batgirl in the 90s. So that could be interesting.
That'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
So we're getting more and more about Birds of Prey. I'm getting excited to see this. I really am. The Flash.
The movie.
Yeah. It gets pushed back to start date to the late 2019 as final tweaks are made to the script. Thoughts? concerns?
I have a theory, and
I promise I would share my theory tonight.
I should not be surprised by this at all.
It's just moving too fast. They're trying to do it too fast to get the movie out there, is what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Barry screwed up the timeline again, didn't he?
Dang it, Barry.
Well, I think the Scarlet Velocity Twitter account posted something about, I guess this means that the Flash is going to go on for at least another 2 years.
That's true. I saw that. That's funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
So these last, it's been pushed back for final tweaks to the script. I don't know what scripts they've been working on it enough. I think there's something else, and I think it kind of wraps in with these last two pieces of news that we'll mention kind of together, that I have my theory, but here's the report that Warner Brothers is apparently looking for a new Batman actor, which we kind of saw that coming,
yeah.
And then it looks like Warner Bros. Is done with Henry Cavill's Superman movie franchise.
Again,
so,
I should not be surprised by this, but,
right.
You know.
What are your thoughts then? The Flash movie's getting pushed back. They're looking for a new Batman actor. Superman franchise is done with Henry Cavill. What are your thoughts with this? So, I mean, is Warner Brothers falling apart, Carrie?
I honestly don't know. So in the days before, you know, social media, when we didn't know every bloody thing that was apparently going on behind the scenes,
yeah,
this kind of drama would probably not even be on our radar, and you know, it, or at least it wouldn't be as possibly be as public as it is right now. I think the closest thing would be, closest comparison would be the when they were trying to get Leonard Nimoy back for Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Okay.
And they basically had to agree to pay him. And I mean, you can't have those movies without Spock. So, you know, they kind of had the studio over a barrel on that one. But this is just like, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, just either continue or don't. Make up your bloody minds, please.
Right. I have a theory.
Okay. What's your theory?
And I've been waiting to push this theory for a week now.
Oh boy.
Okay. So I don't think it's movie tweak or script tweaks why they push the flashback. I think I understand why they're looking for a new Batman actor, because I think they may want to start something off with this Batman movie that's coming out. I can understand they're done with Henry Cavill's, because let's be honest, Henry Cavill is a hot item right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's wanted for multiple franchises right now.
Right. I mean, okay, the other thing with pushing the Flash movie back is that apparently Ezra Miller is going to be in the next Fantastic Beasts as well. So
right,
has,
I did
they
see
have
that
to,
today.
They have to make room in his schedule for that. The other thing I'm thinking of as we're talking about this is, like I said, I've been watching the movies that are listed as officially the New 52 animated movies, and apparently the Flashpoint movie was the start of that.
Yes, the Flashpoint Paradox.
Flashpoint Paradox was the start of that, but then it's like in Flashpoint, the Flash, no, like the Justice League is already together, right? But then the next movie is Justice League War, and that involves bringing the Justice League back together again.
Right. So when he messed with the timeline,
he ruined the Justice League. They had to meet each other again. And I will point out that, you know, the animated movies managed to get the entire Justice League together in one movie, without having to introduce the other characters. So
right.
It can be done.
So what you're saying is that your theory is they're going to use the Flash movie as the springboard to reboot, but if you're going
to
have a new Batman and an right and a new and an, and a new Superman,
yeah,
let his movie be the Flashpoint Paradox or the Flashpoint movie. That's fine. And then have him kind of reset everything. Now, I think you still need to keep Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
Don't you know, somehow have her still make it through the misuse of Barry, whatever he does.
Uh-huh.
So that's your theory, is that they're gonna use the Flash. That's a very interesting theory. I mean I've known they've talked about the Flashpoint, you know, as the movie's theme, but now that if they're looking to replace Ben Affleck and then Henry Cavill's leaving too, I could see that really starting to pan out now.
I think I've seen rumors that was kind of what they were going for anyway, but I don't know if that's what, I don't know if that's part of the reason why they keep pushing the movie back.
And James Gunn's Suicide Squad is not supposed to be a sequel, but rather a reboot of the Suicide Squad. And redone.
So if
So it would flow within a timeline after the Flash messes up.
So when Barry messes up the timeline, we have to start all over again. This makes sense to me, at least.
So I love your theory because it kind of meshes with my theory, too. My theory is they're waiting on James Gunn to make Suicide Squad and see how he does. And then, I know this is risky, but hanging their thing, their hopes, and their future on his movie coming out. Now, I know it's an odd movie to hang it on, which is Suicide Squad 2. I get that. But I want to think they want to see how it's done, because they may make him the... I could see Warner Brothers throwing money his way and making him the Kevin Feige of...
Yeah, you were saying that last week.
Right, of DC. So I could see that happening. And him kind of heading up world building. Because when you talk about DC, there's a lot of world building that goes on.
Yeah.
When you talk about the multiverse and everything else like that, I think Marvel lost that ability because he was supposed to do their intergalactic, their galaxy world building. And then whenever they let him go, well, I'm sorry, not Marvel that let him go, Disney told him to leave. Warner Brothers says, hey, we can use that.
Yeah.
Let's get this guy who we know has been successful, and let's bring him here and have him world build for us and make him the front runner.
I like it.
And it all starts with Suicide Squad 2 and The Flash. I think somehow he's going to have his fingers somehow in The Flash movie. And they're going to wrap this world around him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
So that's kind of my theory. So it kind of meshes with yours a little bit, too. Yeah. And I like that.
Okay, cool.
So... That's good. That's good. But hey, I'm not upset. We're getting movies. We're getting three movies starting with Aquaman this next year.
I'm not necessarily upset. I'm just kind of over it. Like, dude, just figure out what get your crap together. Guys, get your crap together and get something and do something, or don't.
Hey, look, my glass right now is half full, literally. Of this Pepsi I'm drinking here, and that's how I view Warner Brothers right now. Is I'm half full. I am excited about the future of the DC universe at Warner Brothers. Anyways, any other news we have, Carrie? We are just about 30 minutes into our show.
I think that's all the news we have, at least for this week.
All right. Well, at this time, then we're going to go ahead and move into our DC TV discussion. All right, so we had a lot of episodes this week.
That's an understatement.
Some of them we're going to spend some time on. Some of them we're probably not going to spend some time on. I'm not going to read the whole recap of the episodes. I do want to point out that if you want a deep recap on Supergirl, I encourage you to go to Supergirl Radio. Check out their Twitter feed. It's at Supergirl Radio. Look them up in the store. They give a real more in-depth recap. If you're interested in Arrow or Flash, I encourage you to check out Scarlet Velocity and Green Justice, and they give a better in-depth recap. And they do. I listened to Scarlet Velocity this week. They gave a Shway count for the Flash, so they have a Shway count they do every week now, and that's pretty interesting. I don't listen to any Black Lightning podcast, and I don't listen to any Titans podcast yet because I haven't found any yet. I don't care to listen to a Black Lightning podcast. I listen to too many now. To too many podcasts. I probably listen about 20 to 25 hours a week of podcasts, if not more. But I've never been as invested in the Black Lightning. Not that he's bad or anything. It's just, well, you'll find out when I talk about the recap. And the Titans show is still new, so there's probably not a big market for it yet. But I do encourage you to check out those three: Supergirl, Radio, Scarlet Velocity, and Green Justice. Good ones. So, as we talk about Supergirl, we're just going to kind of hit a couple of points and move on. Amid the backdrop of relations between humans and aliens, because if you don't know, it's pretty intense in this episode. Mercy and Otis Graves steal an EMP device from an alien engineer, and they make it a point to remove his tusk in the process. Now, John Johns views the actions as a hate crime, a point that Kara dismisses. So this is kind of in the first scene. They steal an EMP device.
Well, I mean, okay, I kind of saw Kara's point because the tusk was needed to get into the vault, but there was no reason to take both of them. So that's where Jean's point gets in the way and kind of like muddies things. And it was obviously a hate crime based on what Orlis and Mercy were doing when they were attacking the guy. By the way, I like the Orlis and Mercy pairing. That is awesome.
Perfect. Now Orlis is supposed to play almost like a little dumb.
Oh yeah.
But in this one you could tell he had that hint, but he was very evil.
Oh yeah.
It was so good. They played it very good in this episode. So I was good at that. And in other areas, as Kara combats growing hostilities between aliens and humans, her sister Alex is learning how to cope with her new role as head of the DEO and the addition of Brainy in place of Wynn. These scenes were perfect.
Oh yeah.
To the point that Brainy makes an effort to appease Alex so much that he goes as far as to dress like Wynn in order to appear like him. It was so funny because
Brainy.
What's going on here? This is and they kind of just realized I do like Brainy. I think he's awesome. The actor who plays him does a phenomenal job playing him. But we get to the point that both express that they do miss their friends. So Brainy misses the rest of the league, and Alex obviously misses Wynn. Do you think that's going to affect them any more in the future episodes?
It may, but you know, I think they'll get over it.
Moving on a little bit, various dark web social media sites that Kara finds in the warehouse reveal the growing anti-alien movement in full, even parents requesting information on devices to kill aliens simply because their kids attend school with them. Now
that got caught all kinds of disturbing.
Yeah, it got disturbing really quick. I don't know if it was here or if it was a little bit later in the episode, but when John and Kara talk at one point, John looks at Kara and says the only reason you're not discriminated against, basically says, is because you look like the human and you don't have to hide yourself. Yeah. Right. And she says, no, it's because I choose to do what's right. Now, I think both had a point. Because I understand Kara's point. I do choose to do what's right. That's why I'm not victimized. But at the same time, she does look more human than, say, the engineer that had the tusk.
True, yeah.
So if somebody else, you know, and she's in her other persona, she can hide it behind glasses and a ponytail.
Right.
At Catco.
Right.
Whereas she can't, you know, the guy who has a tusk can't do that.
Well, and you've seen this in the various iterations of, like, the X-Men, too. It's like, you know, the mutants like Jean Grey and Storm, they can basically, you know, walk amongst normal, quote unquote, normal humans and
right.
pass. But someone like, you know, Nightcrawler or Beast, they can't. So
right.
it's kind of the same thing, only now we're using aliens instead of mutants.
And it's so amazing to me that it almost as if, and I say that because I respect Melissa Benoist and I respect Supergirl on the because I've actually enjoyed this more than I did last season already. It just almost makes me feel, okay, wait a minute. Are they making her act like she really does not know that there's people who hate aliens? It almost seems like she is too smart to fall for something
like this. I think she's a bit of denial. It's like her life is basically it's like what she said in the episode. You know, her life is going really good right now. Everything is in its place. Everyone appears to like her, both as Kara and as Supergirl. And she doesn't want to mess with that. But at the same time, because she can pass as human when she's not dressed as Supergirl, she's kind of turning a blind eye to the more nefarious aspects of this anti-alien movement.
Right. I can give it that. I struggled a little bit because I'm like, it just seemed like, how could she be so blind to what's going on? Why are they making her? But, you know, being in denial makes more sense to me. Anyway, so they in the warehouse as well. They find some plans that they plan to attack President Marsden's alien summit at Camp David. Kara and the DEO watch over the summit, but Graves still are able to infiltrate. Otis's assassination attempt fails, and Mercy shoots her brother during the escape to distract Kara. Otis reveals he's wearing a bulletproof vest, and Mercy delivers a chilling message when she flees. We're the good guys.
Now, bloody hell, she's not.
So this was an interesting scene because I actually picked up on the fact that I saw the president move the guard before it was revealed later when the news update aired that Mercy was able to show President Marsden getting hit by the bullet and an alien was able to as an alien. So she was revealed as an alien in this episode to the world.
Yeah.
So when I saw her push that guard away, I'm like, oh, that's not going to be good. Because I had to stop. Yeah. I hit pause, and I went back 10 seconds on my iPad and said, let me watch that again to make sure I saw what I thought I did. And I did. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's going to bite them, yeah.
Right. And I think it will, because the president is one on here who has pushed so many alien policies through on the show.
And now the humans are going to believe that she has an ulterior motive, because she kind of does. I mean, she's an alien. She wants...
Right.
The reason she's pushing for alien rights is because she is one.
Right. And at the same time, if they are following the United States Constitution, you have to be 35 years old, live in the U.S. as a legal resident for 14 years, and then you also have to be born in the United States. You cannot be born from another country. It'll be president. Or, in this case, another world, to be president.
Well, who's to say she wasn't actually born on Earth?
Ah, That is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I know this isn't one of our talking points, but did you notice who Agent Liberty killed at the end of the episode? You've watched Star Wars Rebels, right?
Yeah.
That was Tia Sakaar.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So I mentioned something on Twitter. Darth Maul's getting revenge on the Mandalorians at the end of this episode for kicking him off of Mandalore.
That's so mean.
It is mean.
because
Sam Witwer's playing Agent Liberty, so that's just like that sucks.
That does. Well, the episode wraps up with the Russian Kara punching through a cliffside under the supervision of military officials.
Mm.
This is going to be an interesting season.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but this is going to be an interesting... I have a feeling that the Russian Kara is going to be used by Agent Liberty somehow as propaganda to make the real Kara look
bad
in front of the public.
That's entirely possible.
But anyways, so that was Supergirl. Let's talk about the Flash a little bit.
Okay.
So we got a little bit of flashback with Cicada going after Gridlock. Gridlock managed to injure Cicada, but the lightning-shaped dagger that we saw stole Gridlock's powers, and soon after, it killed his killed himself. So we see the
that
use
dagger
of
is pretty.
The dagger. The dagger's pretty.
It is. I have a thing for sharp objects.
Somehow,
I have a thing for. I have a thing for knives and sharp objects. So the dagger is pretty.
Oh my. but
you didn't know you were podcasting with a psycho, did you?
No, I did not. I'm scared now.
It's okay.
But I do know that
as you should be.
Yeah, that dagger's got to be infused with dark matter.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Especially since, what was his name? Sisko, when he was cut by it later on in the episode, he said there was a lot of dark matter going around in his blood at that time.
Yeah.
But moving on, then we were introduced to a meta named Vanessa.
Uh-huh.
Great. Who found her old associate and crushed him into a tiny meat cube.
Ew. That was gross.
That Barry would try to pick up and can't pick it up because it's a whole human body in one spot.
Yep.
And Nora would touch when she wasn't supposed to. Yeah. Speaking of Nora, while mm-hmm. Barry was investigating this crime scene, Nora introduced herself as the new CSI intern. And Barry covered for her.
Well, yeah, because look at all that work they left him.
Right. Right. And what was funny was she started quoting off all these things about what they use, and he's like, I don't even think those words even exist yet.
Yeah, that was funny.
In our vocabulary. So eventually Barry and Nora, because they're confronted with Vanessa, and I remember, they have to wait for these villains to do something because they still don't have satellites.
Yeah, they need to fix that.
They need to fix their building that's been down for like 5 years now.
Yeah, that's true.
A big hole in the roof. So when they confront Vanessa, she trapped Nora in her cube and almost seriously injured her, but Barry was able to rescue her, and he privately then complained to Joe about how overzealous she was. In turn, Joe said, Barry, you were just like her. Mm-hmm. When you were her age. He said, No, that's not what he said. But he recognized that he is just like her. So that was a good comparison. Ralph continued to investigate the fate of Caitlin's father, so he hit a snag and asked Sisko to vibe the death certificate. However, here we go. Sisko was not able to focus on anything other than his breakup with Gypsy. Come on, Sisko. Drinking Sisko last episode was funny.
Moping Sisko this episode. I mean, I guess you know how what there's what 7 stages of grief.
Yeah, apparently Ralph.
He was in the moping stage.
Right. I hope he's not in this for more episodes.
Yeah, me too.
I understand that him and Gypsy's powers are connected because of their feelings for each other. I get that. But man, it's almost as if the writers don't know what to do with Sisko this season.
Yeah.
And that kind of bothers me because he's one of my favorites in the show.
I hope they fix that soon.
But anyway, so eventually Ralph gives his 27 ways to get over the love, and one of them deals with, you know, a metamorphosis of him getting new clothes, changing some new things about himself to make him better, to always be positive, encouraging to himself. Caitlin wants to help as well, but mainly we find out because Caitlin does not want to deal with the issue with her father.
Yeah, well, she doesn't want to know that he just never came back.
Right, right. Now, eventually, I think we're definitely going to find out more as to why.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Why he didn't come back? We know when Sisko was able to vibe her on accident, she saw her mom,
mm-hmm.
Getting death certificate.
By the way, did you notice that when he used his powers, his hand, the hand where he got cut, started hurting? I think that's going to have some lasting effects as well.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think the dagger is more, and I'll get kind of into the dagger here in just a second. Let's read this final rematch because that's kind of where the dagger, the big fight of the episode comes into play. And I think it's going to run in what you were wanting to do, what you had there too. But a rematch with Vanessa went far more smoothly this time for Flash. Nora was able to make it up for mistake. Almost immediately after getting her secured, though, the heroes were stunned when Cicada appeared and threw a knife in her chest. Dang it! Nora raced Vanessa to the hospital while Barry, Sisko, and Ralph prepared to confront Cicada. However, his lightning-shaped knife stripped the heroes of their powers that left them helpless against him.
Yeah, that aspect of the dagger is not as pretty, but, you know.
So, apparently it's a dampener. It's almost
yeah.
like a power dampener feel.
Mm-hmm.
But how, without all those powers, none of them can still fight?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. I'm sure that hopefully there will be an explanation.
Now, we know they get their powers back eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a permanent dampener. But I do think that when he does absorb the power into the dagger, I think then it's permanent. Huh. But he doesn't do that unless he stabs you like he did with Gridlock and Vanessa.
Well, if we won't know for with Vanessa because we don't know if she survived yet. But you know, if you strip away someone's powers and then kill them, the powers aren't going to come back. So we have no way of knowing if Gridlock's powers would have come back if he had, you know, lived.
Right. Yeah. But I do think that's going to have something to do with what you said. I think getting sliced by that dagger is going to have some impact on him somehow.
Right.
So we'll find out about that. But anyways, so they're stripped. Cicada comes closer to murdering Barry, almost murders him, but Nora returns and yells, "Daddy!" You know, not daddy, but dad. Uh-huh. And he looked at her. And he ran away. So, why did he stop?
Well, wasn't some of the backstory of Cicada was that his family was killed by metahumans?
I think so.
So if he would be squeamish about killing the Flash in front of the Flash's daughter, that would be a pretty big Achilles heel.
Yeah, I can see that. Anyways. So he didn't kill Barry. Cicada ran. He didn't try to drain Nora's powers. He just got out of there. Back at Star Labs, the team realizes Cicada was behind the Gridlock's murder, and they have a new mystery to solve. And it looks like Nora, by the way, knows a little something she's not telling everybody
about this Cicada guy. Yeah, she looked kind of freaked out about him.
Yeah, so we'll find out later. Black Lightning.
Yep.
I really enjoyed Black Lightning last season. This season, better hurry up.
What's wrong?
I'm struggling with this show this season. I don't know why. I just am. It's probably because it's that second season slump that you usually get in most shows. I'm enjoying it, but not as much as I did in the first season.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of fallout from last season, so things are not in a very good place right now.
Now they grounded it better than last episode, so I was okay with that. I am interested in a couple things in this episode, though. One of them is how Thunder continues to revel in the applause of bystanders.
Yeah, that's not.
That's gonna come back to bite her.
Oh yeah, that's not gonna go well.
I was excited. We got a little bit of Khalil this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We do know Khalil sucks at chess.
Well, I mean, we don't know how long he's been playing too. Probably not as long as Tobias.
Right, and if he continues to make bad moves, he's going to keep getting smacked.
Yep.
But anyway, so he leaves, and it looks like he's trying to wrestle with some things.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's a ploy, if he's actually wrestling, but he does end up visiting Jennifer at night, and they sit on the rooftop. And
well, no, she sends him away.
She sends him away after she pushes him off the roof.
Yeah, which was kind of cool.
Yes. They were talking. You can see she was getting angry. No, she was actually, I don't know if it's anger or she was actually starting to fall for him again. But we do know she turned around.
Because her powers are trying to trigger again.
Right. And she told him pretty much, you know, you need to leave, and he leaves. So he gets out and he says that pretty much he's only following Tobias' orders because if not he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
A little fishy.
Yeah.
So the opportunity, we're moving on now, the opportunity to study Issa is even more advantageous with the escape of Wendy, the metahuman with aerokinesis powers who can create a hurricane force winds. Awesome. Issa also has the ability to force the truth from others by manifest during his visit from his sister, which she expressed her disgust and fear of him. That's... That's a sucky metahuman power.
That is a sucky power, yeah. I don't want this power.
Right.
I never want this power.
The funny scene, though, was when they were at dinner with him, and they were all telling their truths to everybody. That was funny.
And kind of speaking in code.
Right, right. So, eventually, though, Jennifer finds him on the roof and goes in and talks to him, and they discover that eye contact triggers his powers. So as long as he doesn't look at you, you can't tell the truth.
Yeah, and that works until people tell someone orders him to look at them, and he doesn't.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. It's gonna be interesting. So while this was not maybe a heavy focus in this episode, I do think of another part of the episode that will come into play here soon. Jefferson has going to resign by the school board as long as the school can stay open. And the new principal is going to be Mike Lowry, a white man. I think this is going to play into somehow in this season. I don't know how yet, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're bringing a white man in to take over running of a predominantly black school, and that never goes well.
No. So Jefferson meets with the teachers on their own, and then he meets with the student body. And as they're leaving, one of his students lead them in his personal mantra, which I thought was really cool. I enjoyed that. Any other notes about Black Lightning? We got two more shows to go through real quick.
I don't think so.
All right, and they're both shows I really wish we could spend an hour or two on, but I know we can't. Arrow season 7 picks up 5 months after everything that happens, and he is an inmate. I love the way the guard comes to his cell every morning and say, "It's a beautiful morning outside." And so he's in his cell. He's inmate. Was it 8457?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. I can't remember now for some reason. So don't make me look it up. It's late at night. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's 5 months later. So we know Oliver has not been in jail just really quickly overnight, but he's actually been in jail for 5 months now. While he's been stuck in jail, Dinah has become the new police captain. John Diggle and Curtis Holt work for Argus. Although we didn't see Curtis this round, did we?
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
We did not. Well, yes, we did. Briefly.
It was for that split second. I'm sorry.
Briefly.
Right. Briefly. Renee Ramirez teaches teens self-defense, but he's still having issues with his wild dog past. While we're there, though, Green Arrow.
And we have a new Green Arrow, apparently.
We do. We have a new Green Arrow. It's awesome.
Yeah, this was good. This was a bit of a head scratcher.
All right, Carrie. So, theory right now.
Time travel.
You think it's time travel?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, who do you think it is then?
Well, if we're judging from the flash forwards, I think it's William from the future.
Okay.
I could be wrong though.
I'm going to go with Nyssa.
Maybe.
Because we have the Longbow Hunters coming.
True.
So my theory is it's going to be Nyssa. We're both probably going to be wrong, but that's okay.
I mean,
It could be Felicity.
I don't think so. I don't think so because she was in hiding for most of the episode.
Okay. So
not that they did her any good.
So your theory is William from time travel.
Yeah.
My theory is Nyssa. We'll see who's right. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
We do know that after the Green Arrow takes care of one person in an underground weapons network, he goes to his little hideout and crosses his name off of a list. Ooh.
Ooh. Hmm.
Interesting. So we also see that Oliver continuously has nightmares, that Diaz finds Felicity and William and ends up killing them, like the one we saw right at the beginning episode where, see, I thought that was going to be like a flash for like the end of the season again, like kind of like they did a few years ago when they had the tombstone at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
But apparently it's just Oliver dreaming that Diaz has find them and kill them, and Diaz did eventually find them, but if Felicity attacked Diaz, and let me say, Felicity beat the crap out of Diaz for a little bit.
Yeah, and Argus is slow.
Right.
Argus is slow on the response there.
I agree, but Diaz was definitely taken off guard.
Oh, yeah.
On how good Felicity was. But William got away, Argus showed up off screen, and saved Felicity. So, Oliver has tried, though, to keep his head down in prison. Despite being surrounded by several men that he helped imprison over the last 7 years. So he is trying to keep his head down. He just wants to do his time and get out so he can be back with his family, which you don't blame him.
Right.
By the way, the book on his shelf was Count of Monte Cristo.
Uh-huh. Which is about a man who's
revenge.
Imprisoned falsely.
And he gets out and seeks his revenge. So
uh-huh.
This is going to be interesting.
Yes.
So one of the fellow inmates, I don't remember his name, attempted to befriend him for protection.
Uh-huh.
But Oliver said, look, dude, I'm not getting involved in this. The other two men said, well, we're just going to beat your buddy up. And pretty much just said, I don't care. That was the
non-heroic thing that they've been alluding to, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too, because I looked for something like really bad. And all we saw was Oliver walking away from this guy being brutally beaten.
Yeah.
And that was it. And we see them later on at night where he's next to Oliver, and Oliver checks on him.
Uh-huh.
But his man is blubbering and crying and pretty much calls Oliver a coward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that did something to Oliver.
Well, between that and him being attacked in the shower
and being
told that Felicity was dead.
Right. Which, speaking of the shower scene...
That was an awesome fight scene.
He lasted pretty long, but he still got the crap beat out of him, just long enough to know that Felicity was dead.
Uh-huh.
And
quote,
I was praying the whole time, please do not let any of the towels drop in this fight scene. That was me.
Yeah. I trusted them to know what they were doing.
I do too. I do too. But
fight choreography is fun.
It is. I thought it was very good. I thought it was a great fight scene. But anyway, so he got beat up. He was announced that Felicity was dead. But when Felicity visited him and found out what happened, number one, Felicity's like, okay, I'm done running. I'm uh-huh. taking a fight now to Diaz. And then Oliver's like, okay, it's good to go now. It's on time. So he gets up. He takes his book,
uh-huh.
his Count of Monte Cristo, and he goes out to the yard, and he just nails the guy that hit the dude.
Uh-huh.
And then he grabs the weight
uh-huh.
off the bench and just starts slamming the guy with it. And he says, you give Diaz a message, and he just...
No, he basically tells the guy that they should have killed him.
Yeah. It's so funny. And then he just gets down, puts his hands behind his head. Like, all right, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the end of the episode, Carrie, what happened, though? You had something
we have a flash forward. So, apparently, this is going to be a thing now. We're flashing forward instead of backwards to a man making his way to Lian Yu, where he finds a much older Roy Harper, and
yep.
turns out the guy that shows up on the island is William.
Yep.
So
and he's got that same stone.
Yeah, that Felicity gave him.
Yep.
Earlier in the episode. So yeah.
We'll be interesting to see why Roy is on the island. How did he get there? Where's Thea? All these other kind. What kind of happened to her?
Mm-hmm.
And all these other kind of things. So I enjoyed Arrow this week. I can't wait for this week. There's certain shows I can't wait for. Flash and Arrow are two of them. And then our last one, real quick, Titans. On the DC Universe app. We're just going to kind of talk really quick. 4 years ago, Hawk, Dove, and Robin used to do team-ups. The actors who played Hawk and Dove,
are
phenomenal.
Awesome. Yeah, this show is getting really good.
The Hawk likes to use the F word a lot. We found that out in this episode. But I didn't know anything about Hawk and Dove until this episode, so it was awesome to see them. See them their characteristics. I do like the way they played Kids in America while those three are fighting in their superhero team up.
That was cool.
Great rendition of it. you know, flash forward to the present. Hank and Dawn are in a long-term relationship. They continue to do vigilante work. However, we soon find out that Hank's injuries from over the years have begun to take this toll on him, forcing him to either to decide to retire after one last mission. I love the way that they showed a superhero struggling.
Yes.
And hurting. They were very open. His hip was hurting. He had health issues. He was taking cortisone shots and medicine and that kind of thing to try to.
And so is she.
Right, and she was, but she didn't let it on as much as he was, and she didn't look like she was hurting though as much as he was.
Well, maybe not hurting physically. Maybe it's more mental.
Right, because we do know from a later on scene when Rachel touched Dick that there was some stuff going on between old Dove and Robin there.
Yeah.
And we found out that's why Hawk
doesn't like Dick Grayson at all.
Right. I thought it was funny too. We have Hawk, Dove, Robin, Raven. We get the whole bird family here.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yep.
But anyway, so Rachel's power gets out of control again, and Dick resolves to have someone take care of her strength. And so he does not want to take care of this girl.
Well, I mean, he's not used to taking care of anyone other than himself. So,
right,
kind of makes sense. It's a bit of a cop out, but oh well.
Right.
Hopefully he's changed his mind by now.
Well, we know in the Titans format he will.
Yeah.
We know he will. So Hawk and Dove's last job involved preventing an arms smuggler from sending out guns to their clients. At first, it seems that Robin's intel on the forces guarding the shipment was wrong because Robin said there's going to be more. There's too many places for them to hide. They don't believe him. So, however, one of the armed men ends up shooting Hawk, injuring him. Luckily, though, Robin arrives just in time to save Hawk and Dove, and Robin gets violent.
Oh yeah, Robin. This is possible. Maybe this is why Batman and Robin had a falling out, because Robin's getting too good at the violence there.
So Batman. So he blames Batman for going too violent. He says Batman's way too violent. And then he leaves because he said he just could go down that road. I'm wondering if that's flipped. I'm wondering if Robin was the one who was too violent, and Batman says, you got to go. Maybe he was pulling in the Damian Wayne mentality of a Robin. Maybe they're kind of mixing those two for a reason. And maybe Robin is the one who's too violent, and Batman said, I can't have you doing that with me. You have to go. Because he's been called a psychopath now, like, for the last two episodes.
Either that or Robin struck out, decided to leave. Dick Grayson decided to leave because Bruce Wayne wasn't letting him go out anymore because he was too violent.
That could be. So Rachel's at the apartment while they go out and do their mission. As she looks around, she finds an envelope that's addressed to Hank and Dawn from Dick. It's got money in it. It's got a letter that pretty much says, I want you to raise this girl. Here's some money. Get her started. That's why he met Alfred. It was nice that we got a nod to Alfred in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, this show. He got money from Alfred. I found it interesting to look at his phone list. I didn't get a quick grab. But if I could do it this week and I have time, I'd like to see who was in his contacts list to see what other superheroes he had on his phone. When the trio arrive, they can't find Rachel. They go up to the roof. They find him. And she gives him the letter, and Hank reads it, and they argue with one another like normal would do. And then you see the nuclear family comes out of nowhere. This is that 50s retro family that comes out. They've been activated with some submission, and they go. They dropped everything they did. They tried to abduct Rachel. The first target was Dick's partner, Amy Rohrbach, which we don't see anything else about her after she gets the crap beat out of her in her apartment.
Yeah.
By the way, if there was a girl crying in my apartment out of nowhere and I had no idea how they got in there, I don't think I'd go up there very calmly.
Yeah, that should have sent off some more alarm bells.
Right. So we don't find out what happened to her. We probably will, though. But we do know they torture.
I'm guessing she's dead, but I could be wrong.
She could be. I don't know. I think she's going to have a bigger role in this show than we think she's going to. But they, before they knew it, Hank and Dawn and Dick lost Rachel to nuclear family. They tried to fight them. They were completely defeated. Hawk got his butt kicked.
And we're not entirely sure if Dawn, if Dove is going to live at this point.
She was thrown straight down to the street. So can we see a little Oracle coming up?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's what happened in Titans. We do know that next week we're supposed to get a lot of... we're supposed to get a lot of Corey and Starfire and Raven in it. I don't know when we're going to see Gar again. I'm hoping they don't wait until the following episode to give some more of him, because we kind of need to see some more of him if he's going to be in it.
Right.
But anyways.
Right.
So, with that being said, that is all of our recap that we have for you today. Anything else you want to give us?
No, I think that we're just over an hour now, so I think we should probably spare our listeners any more prattle.
Oh, our listeners love us.
Aww.
All right. Well,
but we don't want to give them too much, because
we don't want to give them too much. Keep coming back.
Yeah,
we're gonna get them shorter. We promise. We'll get them shorter.
We're working on it.
So the final DC quote I want to give to you is in honor of Wonder Woman's first introduction. Today is the anniversary of Wonder Woman coming out in 1941. So I want to quote Wonder Woman. If the prospect of living in a world where trying to respect the basic rights of those around you and valuing each other is simply because we exist are such daunting, impossible tasks, then what sort of world are we left with? And what sort of world do you want to live in? That's from Wonder Woman 170.
Wow.
Number 170.
Good stuff.
And it's good. It's good. In the end, though, we want to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Random Chatter. You can find me at Obi Mike Kenobi. That's Obi _ Mike Kenobi. Carrie, where can we find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
All right. You can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. So check us out. We have lots of shows. We have Guardians of the MCU. We have Echo Base. We have Star. We have just whatever you want. It's on our website at randomchatter.com.
Please spread the word and tell your friends, coworkers, total strangers, whoever you think might like podcasts centering on the DC universe. And
Senior Citizen Center.
Maybe. leave us reviews. If you leave a review on iTunes, we will read it on air.
That's right.
You can also join us in Discord, randomchatter.com/discord. You can get into the main lobby and all of the show channels for free. But if you support us on Patreon, that's randomchatter.com/patreon. One of these days, I will get that in the correct order. For just $1 a month, you get access to all of the channels on the on the Discord server, and there are a lot of channels. To say that there's a lot is like an understatement.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot, but it's a lot of fun.
It is. It is, especially when Mike and Tim start sniping at each other.
I'm kind all the time. Tim's the one who's mean to me.
Right.
Yeah. Join us on Discord, support us on Patreon. And the music you hear on this podcast is Shotgun Senorita by Blue Stolly. And as silly as it sounds, all trademarks are owned by the respective owners. We enjoyed having you. Watch the shows. See you next week here on DC Talk.